You can be seated this evening before Brother Jerry Simmons comes and speaks to us. I just want to start off just with a little bit of a prelude. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians. We've been talking about this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities. You see, we're created body, soul, and spirit. And all of our battles, sometimes we think we fight our battles in our flesh with our bodies, but we have a whole other side to this, and that's the spirit side of things. Just as there's good, there's also evil. And all of this comes to play, especially in an apostolic church, because God has called us, God has appointed us, God has placed us for mission, for purpose. That's why we're saved. We're not saved just because we're going to, well, we want to make it to heaven. But that's not the only reason. He doesn't just save us and then at the moment that we're saved, all of a sudden we're just whisked away into this heavenly city somewhere with God. We're still here on this earth, and our mission, our purpose, one of the purposes is to find out what our mission is, what has God called me here to do. Have you ever wondered why you're placed on this planet? Why am I here? And God has a plan for every last individual on this planet. 15+ years ago now, God gave me a dream, a pretty incredible dream. And I've shared this with the church many times over the last 10 years or so. And in part of this, we were having church services literally around the clock. We were having services all over the city, all over the county. And some of this has already started to take place. I look at services round the clock, and I look at our church, and I look at how many services we have over the course of a week with African International, with VOSIS. We have our Poinette services. We have our Stoughton services. We have our Sun Prairie services. We have our West Side services. We have so many things that God is doing. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is why we've been talking about the prophetic power of the Word of God, because where God is taking us, and listen, this process is not going to slow down. This process is in the point of acceleration. I believe the next 5 years, God is going to accelerate this process because of the times that we live in and what's happening in our world around us. We are living in an age that humanity has never been before, and God is going to pour out His Spirit like He has never poured out before upon this earth and upon humanity. All of this takes a concerted effort from a church that is sold out with passion, that's sold out and knows what their mission is and knows what their purpose is. And I'm excited here tonight because we have Brother Jerry Simmons came here a few years ago with a burden to help plant churches. And in this overall vision that God has given our bishop some almost 20 years ago, that in this overall purpose, this vision that God has given our bishop, we're taking this vision, we're breaking it down into bite-sized portions, and each bite-sized portion is a church plant. We look at it now and say, well, how are we going to have 25 church plants? We're going to have 25 church plants one at a time. That's how we're going to do this. God has sent to us. I look at Brother Chris Jansen here and his church in Waupun and in Watertown, and we are partnering together to continue to move the gospel because, hey, why can't we? Some of these areas that God is taking us into is we're going to be breaking the mold of traditional ways in which church operates. I don't think the disciples on the day of Pentecost had the foggiest idea what was coming after the day of Pentecost. It was all happening in Jerusalem. Nothing wrong with it happening in Jerusalem, but Jesus says, "Go ye therefore into all the world." I want you to get this doctrine, I want you to get this teaching, I want you to get it out of the temple complex, I want you to get it out of the upper room, I want you to get it out into the streets, I want you to get it out into the highways, out into the byways, out into the small communities. We look at our organization now, and our organization is pushing for metro missionaries to start churches in metro areas. Well, guess what, church? We are the metro area. It's right here. We may not have 1 million people here, but we've got 500,000 people plus that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've been working with Brother Simmons. He's been working with his outreach team. And this year, we're talking about perfecting our mission. Perfecting our mission. Listen, in order for everything to work precisely as God designed it and desires it to work, is we have to be ready. We have to be ready. And God is in the process of perfecting Calvary Gospel Church over the last decade or more, so that when this time has come, it's not when this is going to come. This time has come. And I believe that God has prepared us and that we have allowed God to prepare us to move us into where he desires us to be. And with that, it's an honor to have Brother Jerry Simmons on our pastoral staff here at Calvary Gospel Church. And he's going to share some things with us tonight. God bless you, Brother Simmons.
Good afternoon. I was just trying to wrap my head around all that I need to say in the short period of time that I have, knowing that I'm not going to be able to do all of those things that I'd love to do. It would take too long, but I need to see a visual. If you could just help me out, just humor me for a moment. If in this last, since you've known me at Calvary Gospel Church, if I have made a connection with you regarding your ministry or what calling that you have in your life or God moving upon your life or doing something with you that you might have been struggling with, fighting against, or indifferent about, but I engaged you in that process somehow. I just need to see you for a moment. Would you just stand up? I just want to know how many I got to go for. So there's quite a few. I'm looking at the ones I haven't connected with yet. So tonight, if I did not connect with you somehow, I haven't figured out how to get the door open to you yet. And so over the course of tonight, would you cut me some slack in the fact that I'm sometimes awkward? And would you approach me? If I haven't been able to approach you, and just think about that. I'm opening an invitation. I'm inviting myself into your life, so to speak. I need to talk to you. And so if that's the case and you weren't able to stand, I'm working on trying to get in front of you. So I appreciate your honesty. And I'd like to first of all just, I guess I need to preach a little bit if that's okay. I'd like to turn your attention to John 4:35. If you would all stand for the reading of the word. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You may be seated. Thank you. That's not the title of my sermon. So, yeah, that happened. I don't have any commentary. It's just... Yes. Moving on. I just needed to tell everybody that, and I couldn't figure out a good way to say it, so I just made a slide. So thank you very much for humoring me. So I'd like to just start off. A few months back, probably almost a year ago, I was able to speak a message to you all regarding outreach. In fact, I didn't even know that day that I was preaching. I was in my office and just kind of doing some rustling around through my papers, and Brother Grant walked in, and he said, "Hey, I need you to preach tonight." And it was Sunday afternoon, and I was like, "Okay." So I was like, So I just wrote down some quick thoughts that I had, and I preached a sermon to you labeled Unstoppable Forces that night. I don't know if you remember that, but the sermon was about me being on a basketball team with a bunch of scrubs, and we ended up putting together quite an unstoppable force in a matter of just a few minutes with a couple strategic plans. And I guess maybe for tonight, I'd like to just rebrush over that sermon for just a few moments, because there's going to be a little bit of administrative stuff going on tonight that's a little different than you might have normally found in a sermon, because we just need to make some plans and some strategies and set some things into motion tonight. Is that okay? My wife told me not to ask for permission, so I'm sorry. I just asked for permission. So a few years back, whenever I was at ABI, I was working there for a couple of years, and I was getting a little older. I don't know if all the guys there thought I was as old as I was, but I was probably a decade or more older than just about everyone I hung out with. I worked there on staff, and everyone was a student, so it was a decade or more. I was just hanging out with kids, and every Friday night, we had rec night. Rec night was pretty cool because we lowered the gym goals and we played some basketball, and I went out there and I did the best job I could with my loose knees and my slowing down skill level of being a little bit older than the rest of the guys. They were always a lot faster. It came time that there was going to be a men's 5-on-5 basketball tournament in Wisconsin, and somehow we got invited to that tournament as a school. And so whenever I got the invitation, I passed it on to one of the guys that loved to play basketball, one of my really close friends. And he's like, "Oh, that's sweet. I'll put together a team." Well, he put together a little kind of a flyer and tried to get some exposure and see who wanted to be a part of it. Well, there was an overwhelming response of about 15 guys to play 5-on-5. Well, that ended up being a little problem for us, so we had to split our group up into two teams, and so I left it up to him to do that. And I didn't, you know, really realize that he was going to do this, but he kind of stacked his team really good, and he put all the scrubs on another team, and I had just happened to be on the second team. And so as frustrating as it was, we were at the same college, and so whenever it was time for practice, we showed up and we would scrimmage against each other, or play against each other. And when we came in and we played against each other, it was pretty rough for the first few minutes. They were just kind of mocking us and passing over our guys' heads and kind of doing a lot of fakes and stuff in their face and doing a lot of trick shots, and it was kind of frustrating. But I had been studying at Northwestern College. I had been studying organizational leadership. I was working on my master's degree at the time. And I had been reading a lot of books on strategy. And I had stumbled upon a story. And the story was about a guy whose name was Vivek Randhav. And he was Indian, and I have a hard time with his name. But he moved here from India to the United States to start a software company with $50 in his pocket. the software company kind of took off. He got to move into Silicon Valley, and he put his daughters into some really nice schools there. And his daughter wanted to play sports, but the only thing that he knew how to play was cricket and soccer. And in that particular school district, there was no cricket and there was no soccer. And so the only choice for girls that were in that 10, 11 age was the basketball team that was not yet formed. And so whenever he kept coming to the school and asking if there's some way that his daughter could participate in sports, they said, no, there's really nothing unless you'd like to be the coach of a basketball team. And he thought to himself, I don't know anything about basketball, but is there a rule book? So they gave him a rule book, and he read the rule book, and he took it home, and he studied it, and he studied it, and he studied it. And then he went, and he said, okay, I will do this. And so he got him together about 15 young ladies, 10, 11 age, that had various, only two of them knew really how to play basketball. The rest of them couldn't dribble, shoot, pass, or anything besides run. And so he's like, I need some help. I'm going to go to a professional NBA game and watch the professionals play ball. And so he bought him some tickets, and him and his family, they went to this NBA game, and he got real close to the court. And as he was watching the ball game, according to what he understood the game to be, how it should be played, in his mindset, coming from a soccer and a cricket background, he was very frustrated to see these huge athletes walking down very slowly and casually with the ball and getting down to the 24 feet of the 94 feet as close to the three-point line as possible and calling their plays out loud in front of the opposing team and saying, just giving calls and just basically telegraphing everything they were about to do. And then all of a sudden, suddenly the other opposing team would get all excited and try to block all these moves. And he left there with a little bit of frustration, realizing that they were playing according to the rules, but in their mind, their mindset was very casual, and it wasn't as aggressive as he thought it should be. And so when he went back and he started understanding a little bit more about basketball with his girls, he started to give them a certain kind of strategy that would be more effective for their inability to shoot, their inability to pass, and their inability to even really know the rules. So he said, very simply, when you're on the court and you get the ball and you're close to the goal, you shoot the ball. No matter where you're at, no matter what you do, you shoot. And if you miss, you get the ball and you shoot it again. And if the other team has the ball, you chase them everywhere they go until you get the ball. And then when you get the ball, you get the ball and you shoot it as fast as you possibly can, no matter where you're at, close to the rim. And that team ended up being a national championship team with those simple rules. In fact, their method, their game plays, got banned in that league. They said, no longer will you make these little girls act like wild animals. No longer will you set them up, you'll set up these other girls to be tackled and aggressively pummeled. No longer will you send girls out onto the court kicking and scratching and taking the balls as fast as they possibly can out of the other girl's hands. No longer will you just randomly shoot crazy shots that seemingly have a larger percentage of going in than we thought. You'll no longer do that. Well, that man ended up being the owner of the Sacramento Kings. His business took off, and his love for basketball also took off. But that's another story. When I took that strategy to my guys, and I said, you know what? Look, guys, you already know what happened here. We were set up. And they're like, yeah. And it's like, so we have nothing to lose, right? No. I was like, so let's do this. As soon as they touch the ball, you run at them. All five of you. And you get the ball. Whatever it takes. There's no refs out here. And you shoot the ball as soon as you touch it. And don't pass it to the good shooter. Don't do anything. Just shoot the ball and do it. And so I found out they were a little slower than the 10-year, 11-year-old girls. So after about 5 minutes of that, I made them stop at the half court. And I said, as soon as they cross that half point, you attack. because they were all out of breath, and I was rotating five at a time as fast as I could because I had about 10. And we ran the scoreboard up to about 40 or 50, 60 points on our side, and they had about 10. And they were so frustrated and so mad because their stack team was getting pummeled by a bunch of scrubs, and they picked our team. And I just walked away from that experience realizing that it doesn't take someone who has the best skill and the most perfect shot and the perfect everything, perfect dribbling skills and all this fancy stuff to get the job done sometimes. Sometimes it just takes a desire to do what you have to do. And I found out that if you will find someone who has the desire in their heart and a little bit of belief that it's possible, amazing things can take place. That, for the sake of time, I'm going to take a couple of the stories from my previous sermon out, but I would like to just talk to you a little bit. This very similar situation happened in a Naval Academy. The Naval Academy had a very, very huge battleship game going on where would-be admirals would have to come against each other and compete for how that they would operate their navy, their ships, so to speak. And if you ever played battleship, you know it's all kind of sneaky and trying to figure out a way that you would put your ships in just a certain way where your opponent wouldn't be able to figure it out. But this is a whole nother level where you had to shoot back and do all of this operations, and you had to give commands. And a man went into this Naval Academy with a different mindset. He was a computer programmer. He did not have the same mindset as everyone else. And he just studied the math of the whole entire thing. And he finally figured out that if I buy 1,000 little ships with little guns that have no armor and nothing else besides just a gun, that I think I might be able to win. And so they had a certain allotment of funds where they could build their naval fleet. And so whenever they started this gigantuan battle, it was one against another, and they kept going and kept going and finally got down to the championship game. And these 1,000 little ships had been pummeling the competition. Battleships were sinking. These gigantuan aircraft carriers, they were sinking. He was sinking everything with these little ships because there were so many of them that there was nowhere to aim. If you try to aim this gigantuan gun on a battleship, you'd shoot one and just knock a hole in the water, and they all just kind of float around and keep just pinging away at the side of the aircraft carrier until it would go down. And a lot of times he would barely even get hit because there were so many ships to aim at. I feel like in the church, if the church really understood that it doesn't take someone with the best skills, it doesn't take someone with all of this crazy visual, you know, like a battleship kind of person, but sometimes it's just the little boats with the little guns that do the most work. And if we all were in the water fighting the same enemy at the same time, that it would be, you might be surprised what can be done with just a little ship and a little gun. Amen. I think of some of the sermons like Brother Calthorpe preached at to our Wisconsin district ministers meeting a few years ago. He talked about a military base. The military base was a huge base, and it was covered up with airplanes and tanks, and it had all of this stuff all sitting there ready to go to war. But what happened was the enemy snuck up on the fence line of the military base, and they just cut the fence with wire cutters, and they all rushed in. The enemy rushed into this base. And the people that were mechanics, and they were chefs, and they were cooks, and they were cleaners, and they were all these just ordinary soldiers who operated technical equipment, and they operated the books and accounting and things like that. They just, whenever the enemy came in, even though that they highly outnumbered the enemy group that came in, they all just put their hands up because they didn't really know what to do in that situation. And this was a Marine base, and what the Marines finally found out is that they needed to train there every single person, no matter if they were an accountant in the back room, they were washing dishes, or they were working on an airplane just changing oil. No matter what it was, if they trained each one of them to use a rifle, that no matter what, there were so many on base that if they all just learned how to just do one thing and shoot that one rifle, that they would be an unstoppable force on that Marine base. And so the next time that same situation happened, after all of this training, just to shoot the rifle, the whole idea is that every man was a rifleman. No matter what your specialization, every man is a rifleman, that every person was able to shoot the gun. The next time that situation happened, the enemy was easily overtaken, because whenever 100 men are pointing rifles at you, it really doesn't matter what you think their skill level is. There's a lot of barrels pointed at you. You come through that fence, you're in trouble now, buddy. And I feel like that's sometimes in larger churches such as ours and others, that sometimes we over-specialize to the point where we don't feel like that we have to do outreach and we have to win a soul or we have to reach the lost anymore, because that's this other thing. That's this other kind of people, and I'm this kind of people. I'm not trained in that. I'm not designed. That's not my ministry. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us is a rifleman. The truth of the matter is, every one of us should be winning souls. We should be protecting the fence line. We should be doing the minimum of being able to load our rifle and take a shot when we need to take a shot. Just like those little girls, every shot matters. Every possession matters. Every time, every opportunity matters. And no matter what our skill level is or what we think it might be, the idea is very simple, is that if we will go for the ball, we'll get the ball. If we'll shoot the ball, we'll score. And if we try to win with the amount of just manpower that we have in this room, this city, I think we can take it. I literally think we can take it. There's been a lot of sermons over the last few weeks and even years that have really stood out to me. If you've ever heard Stan Gleason talk about discipleship, anybody raise your hands if you heard Stan Gleason talk about discipleship, how every one of us is a disciple maker. Every one of us is someone who can disciple another. No matter what your level of Christianity and what you think you don't know about God, you know one thing, is you know you need to show up to church and you need to serve and worship a holy God. You know that the minimum about even scripture, that's enough sometimes to disciple someone that might be an awesome evangelist or even a missionary, that you could be the one who touched them with the gospel that changed millions of people's lives with what you thought was very insignificant and small. Every believer should be a disciple maker. Every believer should be a soul winner. Last week, a couple weeks ago, I was in Green Bay. And when I was there, it was our midwinter camp north, and Brother Mooney was preaching. And Brother Mooney is a Bible school president. In IBC, they've sent out thousands and thousands of ministers into the field, training them as much as possible. It was an interesting thing, because he was talking about how important the Holy Ghost is to every believer, and that how every believer should be equipped to do what God has called them to do. And it was a great sermon, but the illustration wasn't even in the sermon that he gave, because after all, he called the altar up, and there was this big line of all these amazing musicians and all these amazing singers from all over the host state of Wisconsin. They got up, and they were ready to sing. They were pumped. The music was bumping and jumping, and they were ready. They practiced, and all of a sudden, as they started to sing, he said, "Stop!" And he waved them down, and they were like, "Whoa." And all of a sudden, he went out into the audience, and he's like, "Hold on." He's like, have you ever wanted to sing? He grabbed them by the hands, and he said, "You get up there right now." And he started grabbing these young people off the pews. And he says, "You get up there and you sing." And I was like, "Wait, what?" I was like, "We have all these district rules. You got to have an application, and you got to have a mixtape in. Yeah, I mean, you got to have, like, I'm not joking. If you want to be on, you got to send a tape in. I mean, you got to be like, you got to shave the whole nine yards. I'm sorry, you can sit back down. I'm not joking. There's double-sided red tape on that. Like, you can't even get close to it without being all tied up in the tape." And he's grabbing people randomly off the pews and throwing them up on stage. And he said, "Now sing." And I thought, that's it. Where did we get all this other junk that kept them from doing that? Why are we doing all this? And I realize there should be some procedure and standards and, you know, structure and all this stuff. I get that. I'm not against that. But every one of us should be able, if God is asking us, talking to us, moving on us, we should be able to find it easier to get in position that God can use us to do what we don't know the talent that are in his pews. I know some people, Brooke, I don't know why you're not up here singing. It's crazy to me to look at you sitting knowing what I know about your voice. I don't think a lot of people know. It's just amazing to me. I think of this couple right here. I watched this girl stand down a police chief eye to eye. Everyone who was in the room was crying, and she was the boss. You guys don't even know what she's capable of. Do you remember that day? Yeah, she's all sweet. There's some very serious skills with this lady. Our church, this church, is full. It's full of an unstoppable force. There's so many people in this room. And you guys in the CIP, you're all about to just, you know, disengage for a moment because you don't think I'm talking to you, but I am. I'm talking to all of you guys because you don't realize what we know and what we're hoping for is that every single one of you, you're about two or three choices away from being someone who could just rip this whole entire Dane County in part. You're two or three choices away. Two or three choices away. Two or three choices away. And what you also don't realize is this entire church is hoping and praying that you do that. We're hoping and praying you surpass us as fast as possible. We're hoping and praying that whatever God wants to do with you, that it happens as quickly and fast as possible. And it's so much more than anything that ever happened in our lives, because that's all we have, is hope that it will happen with you. You think, don't laugh me off right now. Don't say, oh, no, you're not talking about me. No, I'm talking to you. You think all of us are on from one side of the tracks? You're looking at a redneck from Arkansas that spent most of his teenage years high, drunk, and passed out. I did not graduate high school. I dropped out. I got kicked out before I even started a couple weeks in my 10th grade. I don't have an education, so to speak. And one day God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and the next thing you know, I'm studying for my master's degree. He bypassed all that garbage for me. But it was God that did that. Man can't do what you need to happen in your life. Man can't do those things. Only God can do those for you. And you think you've been sitting here on the pew your whole life, and you're gonna laugh it off when I start talking about how God can use you to win souls, how God can use you to start churches, how God can use you to change lives. Don't laugh me off right now. I'm eye to eye with you. And I've been eye to eye with as many people in here as I can possibly be and talk to them about what I'm talking to you about right now. I had them stand up. I made them feel very uncomfortable. Some of them got mad. I don't care. I need you to get your stinking rifle up to your shoulder. I need you to take the shots. Did I say stinking? I'm sorry, man. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that in my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and if they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Anybody know what the theme of the week has been? There's only one way to live the Word of God, and that's to obey it. That's it. I woke up the beginning of last week. I even told the staff, I'm like, I'm having a hard time connecting with this theme. I don't even get what I'm supposed to be sacrificially fasting. I don't understand. Like, it's not making sense to me. And over the course of the week, it's like living the Word. How am I going to live the Word? I was like, I can pray the Word. I get that. I, like, repeat the Word, but how do I live it? And then finally it dawned on me. You have to obey the Word to live it. You can't, if you disobey it, you're not living the Word. Mark 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And then he turns it like it's all about him, but you think it was about to be, but really it wasn't. He was saying, and that's not what I wanted to bring attention to. I'm just saying I have enough authority to tell you to do this. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Living the word. This is living the word. Living the word. In order to live the word, we have to obey what God is speaking to us through our pastor. We have to obey what God is speaking to us through the word of God. We have to obey what God is speaking to us through the Holy Ghost. God speaks in a lot of ways. When we disobey any of those by sins of commission, like we commit sins to disobey what God wants, or omission, when we disobey what God wants us to do, the Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a... So we can all potentially, no matter how holy we become as Christians, become sinners in the same breath the minute that we say, "God, I'm not going to do that." There's a lot of sacrifice involved sometimes in living a full, long life and being a Christian, just to throw it out by saying, "Lord, not me. Don't send me." I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not. Luke 24:44 says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Show of hands, who received the power that's tied to that command? Show of hands. So God give you spiritual, supernatural provision to do what he commanded you to do. The command he gave to them and the provision he gave to them is the same command he gave to you and the same provision he's given to you. You don't have any excuses not to engage in the battle. It really is important. It really is. I feel like it just I went all negative, but let's talk about a tractor. Yesterday, I'm on a text message with a bunch of guys. If you're in a text message, raise your hand and wave it at me. It's been going on for months. It's a group text. Everyone hates those. And we're all like, "Oh, what happened next?" It's been going on for months. Nobody wants to end it. And the real truth of the matter is we got to end it and restart it so we can let some more guys in on this, because it's become a ministry by text message. But yesterday, Nate Neesom, he texted on the text message and he said, his neighbor's tractor went off the road. Okay. And I was trying to follow along because sometimes, you know, when you read a text, it's hard to get it all in there. And occasionally the texts are out of order. But what had happened was Nate had been praying all week long how to reach all the farming communities around about him. Could not figure it out. Now, he's down in the coffee shop preaching the gospel and teaching those folks. But the farmers are still out there, and it's frustrating him because he can see their houses from his. So he's fasting and praying this whole entire month about how to reach him, and suddenly the neighbor runs his tractor off the road. So Nate jumps into action and yanks the tractor out, or helps get the tractor out of the snow, and I guess it's broken. Somebody's welding on the tractor. Is that in your garage? Where are you at? I don't even see you in here. Were you doing the welding? Oh, you put his mailbox in. I just seen a lot of action. I'm trying to make sense, but the mailbox got knocked out. So he goes out there and he digs a hole in the frozen ground and puts the guy's mailbox out back up. And next thing you know, he's got the whole neighborhood talking to him and gets to witness. So He probably hates me telling the story, but the end of the day is that's all it really takes. Did you get any training in PI for that? Has anyone in any position in life ever told you that if you put a mailbox in, you could reach the lost? Okay. He's just being Nate. He's just being available where he is. He just said, hey, there's an opportunity for me to take a shot, and you did it, right? And the door's open. It's like he was super pumped. And I put on there, what's the chances of that? What's the chances of it? Kind of like the idea is like, what's the chances of that happening? And in my mind, I'm like, it's 100%. God was involved. You prayed. The chances were 100%. If you're available, he's going to make a way for a tractor to fall in a ditch in front of your house. See, we have this great advantage with Jesus and the Holy Spirit moving inside of us. We also have prophecy. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. But the church is not a defense. The gates are the defense. Okay? We're not defending these walls. But we have to go at the gates. We are on the offense. And this has been said 1,000 times, but if we're not doing the work of the offense, going after the ball as hard as we can, then we're not doing the work. It's an offensive position that we need to be taking, not a defense. We say we keep trying to invite people into the walls of the church, and it's effective to some degree, but it's not 20,000 soul effective. It's not 25 church effective. It's really not. I have a little bit more to talk about tonight. So because I need to hurry along, I'm just going to read this last little poem that I like. 10 little Christians standing in a line. One disliked the pastor. Then there were 9. 10 little Christians on their way to, or I'm sorry, 9 little Christians stay up very late. One slept in on Sunday. Then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven, one took the low road, and then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like chicks, one disliked the music, then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest, and then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest, then there were only 4. 4 little Christians, each busy as a bee, one got her feelings hurt, and then there were 3. 3 little Christians knew not what to do. One joined the sporting crowd, and then there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done, differed with each other. Then there were 1. Then there was only 1. 1 little Christian can't do much is true. Brought a friend to Bible study. Now it's back to 2. 2 earnest Christians, each one 1 more. That doubled the number. Now there were back to 4. 4 sincere Christians worked early and worked late, each one another. Now there were up to 8. 8 splendid Christians, if they doubled as before in just a few short weeks, there would be 1,024. Our pastor, a couple weeks ago, we were in a planning session for the church, and he was kind of casting his vision, and he looked over at me and said, I want 1,000 people sitting in this church by the end of 2020. I didn't blink an eye, because there's absolutely no way that I don't believe that could happen. I understand that even if we just did one of these steps, that we would already be pulling chairs out of the fellowship hall and trying to figure out where to go next. We'd be in big trouble. We'd have to plant some more churches, amen? And I also realize that in this congregation, there are people who don't see themselves quite the way that God might see you. You feel like a misfit, a has-been. You have a shipwrecked life, been displaced, embittered, and damaged. You become passive and maybe even wholly dissatisfied, so to speak. I understand that. I've been there. And then one day, I decided to quit whining and complaining and feeling like a victim and just being hurt because, honestly, I was sick of myself. And when I realized I was living in my friend's basement. I just had graduated Bible school. I had my son with me. I was a single parent of a disabled kid living in someone's basement with no job. My life was just mixed up, messed up, and I was blaming everybody. And I prayed to God he would give me some direction. And he said, stop trying to get work at a pizza place and get on monsterjob.com and put your minimum salary at $75,000. And I started getting my phone ringing off the hook. And I got a good job. And the very first thing I did when I had enough money is I started renting out a theater in Del Sol community of St. Paul. I was like, I'm not going to do nothing now. So I decided to just do anything. And so I got some students together and we went outreaching. And the problem was is none of us spoke Spanish. But I didn't care. We tried to do Spanish songs as best we could, and we tried to reach as many as we could. And you know what? I learned a lot about what not to do. First of all, probably to try to learn Spanish, you're trying to reach a Spanish community. I didn't realize the cultural barrier, the demographic barrier, I didn't understand. But God took that faith of just trying to stand up and do anything and launched me into ministry from that. And you might not understand all what God's trying to do with you right now. No matter what the circumstances are that are holding you back, though, if you'll stand up against those circumstances tonight and just take a swing, just any effort, just any shot, just anything, and believe for just a moment that God can do anything with you. I believe that God will do for you what he did for me and change your life and put you, just redirect your whole entire trajectory. I never knew I would land here. I never knew any of the steps that got me here. It just never made sense. It wouldn't have made sense before, but now it starts to make a little sense. I'd like you all to stand with me tonight. So this is the administrative part. I spoke a little more than I thought I would. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how you can do outreach in 2020. As you know, have you ever been frustrated when we have this awesome speaker or this awesome event and you look around and there's just not enough visitors? In 2020, we're fixing that. We don't want to add a ton more of events because we have awesome events and we have a lot of them. So many so that a lot of folks are tired of all the events, and I understand that. But the events are for us, but they're also for the world around us to come. And what we need to do is work on making sure people know about them and that they're able to come and participate. And so we're going to work on that. Special. And have you ever thought, it's like, man, we have such an awesome youth group, such an awesome hyphen group, such an awesome men's group, such an awesome ladies ministry, such an awesome Sunday school department. We have all this awesome internal ministries, but wouldn't it be awesome if somehow we invited the world to participate in some of these things that we enjoy so much because we get so much truth and fellowship and love out of this environment that these ministries create? If you've ever had those thoughts like it would be awesome to do these things, we're going to fix that in 2020. We're going to work on making sure our events are out there in the world around us, making sure that our ministries and our special ministries are known. Have you ever drove through a city or a town or a neighborhood nearby and thought, man, this place really needs a church? And you just felt the need, if it was from Verona or all these different towns on the west side, north of here, DeForest, all these places. There's so many places that could just use somebody preaching the gospel and sharing the word of God and bringing hurting people to an altar. We're going to fix that. Over the next 5 years, we've already done this, maybe about a dozen or so of these preaching points and church plants and daughter works are in. They're already starting to do this, but we want to see, by 2025, we want to see that number hit, 25 works in Dane County. And if you've been a part of one of these off-site locations, would you raise your hand if you've been a part of one, even beginning, even in the planning stages? Isn't it amazing to go to one of these and realize that we are breaking geographic barriers? Isn't it frustrating when you go down to Walmart or you're in some place downtown and there's people speaking other languages and you wish that you knew how to work with them? You wish there was some way that you could reach them on their level with their language. We have VOSIS and African International and Among Church that meets here every single week, and we're looking for other ways, such as deaf ministry, to reach cultures that are not geographically separated from us, but they're demographically separated from us. And we want to do that, and in 2020 and going beyond, we're going to start working on this. We already have, but we need more. The problem is, a lot of times we get up here and we make this big push and in January or in February. By the time it gets to July and August and October, we don't remember what was said. We don't remember the vision. We've heard 150 sermons in between that time. And that's a lot to try to remember one or two times. To remember the vision that was cast. And there's nothing wrong with being preached to, but in order for us to keep the vision alive and to keep it running and to keep it strong, we have to keep what is called in the sales world and the education world is called TOMA, top of mind awareness. When you're a teacher, you keep re-giving the students the information in different ways, and you try to get it in their mind in such a way that it doesn't leave them, so later they know their multiplication tables, they know their alphabet, they know these things. But without that top of mind awareness being branded into their mind in a way that it doesn't just fade away, you're never going to have that effect. And so every single week, we're going to bring it to you, not from the pulpit, but we're going to have a way for you to know that there's something going on. What we're going to do is there's going to be the front office desk. We're going to raise that window, and we're going to have Bible studies, resources. We're going to have a weekly bulletin that tells you where we're doing and where we're going. And that sounds all great, but how is this all going to take place, right? It sounds cool just to have that idea, but we're also going to institute one more thing, and this is the big, huge culture change in CGC for 2020. Remember what I was saying about every rifleman should be able to, every soldier should be a rifleman. What we want to do is, no matter what ministry you're in, we'd like it to where you would have the available opportunity, even on the smallest scale, to participate in outreach over the course of 2020. And so no matter if you're a Sunday school teacher or you're on the music team or you're a pastor here or you work the nursery or you're in family ministries, no matter what your ministry is, we have designed a system that's going to take place. It's going to be launched over the next week or two that has four rotating teams that you can be a part of one of these teams every single month. They just go out like one or two times a month. And so that you could be a part of a team where you're responsible to only show up to do outreach with this rotation of teams once a month. Or even if you can't afford to do that with your time, maybe you're really tight on time, just show up once every 2 months. But to go out into the world around you and learn to shoot that rifle, learn to take the shot, learn to take the ball back, and to be in control, we would like for you to join one of these teams and come together in fellowship with one another, and we go out and we start some of this stuff together. Who's with me? So, at this time, Sister Jess, could you just put that flyer up? And Brother Noah, could you come here for a minute? I know this is a little odd. These little cards, they're very simple. I made them as simple as I possibly could. Thanks. Appreciate it. So Brother Noah, what he's going to do is he's got these little cards. And when you come down to the altar, if you want to participate, this is not signing your life away. What this is that if you fill out this little online form, it's very, very short. It only takes like a minute to fill out. What it's going to do is we're going to collect the data in the database, and we're going to send out a survey to you, and then maybe have a little phone call conversation, possibly even a text, and see if there's a team that you would like to join. Now, there's going to be five options on there. There's going to be team 1, 2, 3, or 4 that designate for week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4 of a month. And then there's going to be another option for special teams. If you'd like to only work with children, you only want to work with deaf, or you only want to work in the areas of like chaplaincy or prison ministry and all of these things. And I'd like to read some of these. We have a new life care with the Brunkers. We have CIP, which needs desperately needs drivers for the buses. Noah would love to work with you if you'd like to have some interaction with the ladies and the guys from CIP. He had me in there today talking a little bit. Home Bible studies with Ted Krajewski. We are going to set up a schedule for Bible studies in the week that no matter what someone says that they would, if you ask them a question, very simple question, and everyone should remember this question, would you like to learn more about the Bible? And they say yes, that no matter when they say they can do it, we'll have someone covering that space on the calendar at all times. That way that not one Bible study teacher is totally put out with doing all the Bible studies, but we spread it out over the course of an entire schedule. We also have the prison ministry, and Sister Ernestine has been taking up the mantle with she said she wanted to be doing some prison ministry with the ladies, but what she's really been doing is she's been recruiting hospital chaplains, she's been recruiting like EMT chaplain stuff, she's been all over the board, and you're doing an awesome job, Sister Ernestine. Now I want you to look at her. I don't know how old you are. Old enough. If she can stand up and start a brand new ministry from scratch, you don't have a lot of excuses to say that it's not possible with you. I remember when God called me into the ministry, going to ABI, and he had me stop at a church in Missouri, and I met the usher, I thought, at the front door, and he was stuttered so bad I could not understand a word he said. It was the most awkward 5-minute conversation I ever had. That should have been 20 seconds. And whenever time went by, they did their music and they got up, and the minister got up in the pulpit. I realized it was that stuttering old man who was the pastor. And it was awkward. It was dead silence in the church. And as he began to preach, I could not make out what he was saying, but everyone was on the edge of their seat. And he started to preach, and a little more, and the next thing you know, it was coming out. It was coming out, and he started to preach, and it was like fire flowing out of this man. And he stumbled in his mind, and he started to stumble every now and then, but it was 80% fire, 20% stuttering. And I'll take that all day long. And if that's what you feel like, it's like there's so many problems with your life, you'll only be able to give 80%, 50%, 20%. Just think about it. We only get this chance one time. We only live this life once. And then we are accountable to God for what we did with our lives. Amen? Sorry, taking too much time here. There's transportation ministry. There's deaf ministry. They want to start a deaf church. Some of you might want to learn sign language. And then there's full throttle ministries. Full Throttle Ministries is born out of an interest in cars. And you might have an interest in anything, hunting, fishing, board games, video games, sewing, any of those things. You might be surprised how many people will show up to your house just to talk about trains, to talk about any of these things. And we've preached against this kind of stuff for too long. This is our way into the world with something that's wholesome. This is the only opportunity that we have to meet, to have a meeting place with some people, is talking about their hot rod or talking about the deer that they shot or talking about whatever. It's okay to have an interest besides coming to church. Let's take that interest and use it for the kingdom of God. Amen. I've taken too much time tonight. If some of you need more information, and this is, I have these green sheets that has a whole lot more information besides than what you can get off of the survey. But I'm asking you, if anything that I've said tonight has touched your heart and you want to give it a shot, would you get one of these cards and just and go online and just fill that out, and we'll be in contact with you later on over the course of this next week, month. In fact, this is going to stay valid forever. We're just going to keep this available. So that any time that you change your mind and you want to be a part, that you can be a part. Now, if you need to pray about it, right now is a good time to get right with God. Amen. If you would just all just come on down to the altar. I realize there's a little bit of administration stuff going on here, but we can still pray and we can still sing and we can still worship. Just stick that in your pocket and we'll use it. Use it, but if you get one, use it over the next couple of days, okay? Don't keep me waiting in suspense. All right? God bless you all.